Grace to you and peace from God our Savior and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Gospel lesson, verses 20 through 23. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the text. You may be seated. And the sermon started out with an idea and became very quickly titled, After the Dream. And why that is, we've learned that dreams in the ancient world were especially significant, and in certain places in the modern world, they still consider them in the same way. You see, in the ancient world, people believed that when you were asleep and dreaming, your soul was not as tightly tethered to this physical world, and so things from eternity and from the spiritual realm could come through, and you could receive a message from God. So Pharaoh in Egypt dreams, and Joseph interprets the dream, and then they know there's 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and it's a message from God. In sleep and in dreams, things could come from God to advise you. Even in our day, there are cultures that will believe the same thing, which is why around the world, it's very significant, there are thousands and thousands of Muslims who have begun to have dreams about Jesus Christ. And they go and they search out somebody who knows more than they about Jesus to ask, why am I dreaming about Jesus? And again, there are thousands upon thousands who have come into the Christian faith through that path. It's quite a remarkable thing. First time I heard it, I said, no, that can't. Then I kept hearing it over and over and over again. Went to a youth gathering down in San Antonio, ran into some former Muslims who described those dreams. So as I'm saying, this is what I want to preach on for Sunday. Somebody in the church office, that would be the secretary, asked this question that I had not anticipated. And the question was, why don't we think the same thing in our day? And the answer on the spur of the moment was, because of the incarnation. Why is that? Well, because Jesus has come from eternity, from heaven, from the spiritual realms, into our world. He's bridged the gap, broken down the wall. We have somebody from there who has become one of us. And so we have the scriptures we have written in black and white, all of these things about Jesus. And heaven is not so far away, the spiritual realm is not so far away from us as we might think, because God has become one of us. So dreams, quite different in our day. So Joseph has an angel come to him in a dream. Why is the angel come to him in a dream? First part of the answer is because he has heard the story that came from Mary, and he doesn't believe her. Not for a second. And now he is pondering what to do about it. There are actually three possibilities, three options. publicly denounce her, and that could have resulted in Mary's being stoned to death. Go ahead and marry her and let others think that the child was his. Or the third option, put her away quietly. Divorce her quietly. And he's somewhat settled on the third option, and then an angel visits him in a dream and gives him a message. It's basically three parts of the message. Part B, see, we're starting in the middle. The child is conceived of the Holy Spirit. Part C, when he is born, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, what does the name Jesus mean? It means Savior or salvation, and that's why call his name Jesus. And part A, the angel begins with this, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And Matthew tells us, here comes a twist. Matthew says, well, this is exactly what Isaiah prophesied. The virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name. Call his name what? Amen. Why not the virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Jesus? Well, because, no, we'll leave that for a moment. What does the name Emmanuel mean? Yeah. However, that's a little bit of a rough translation, because if you follow the order of the parts of the word, it means actually very woodenly, with us, God. With us, God? Putting the emphasis on the with us, which is quite the amazing thing. That there is God, yes, but that he's with us, this is now completely different, and the whole world has changed because there is with us the one who is God. Not only is he with us, he is one of us, he is... Well, we can say it this way, God of the substance of his Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, that's from one of our creeds. You want to guess what creed that is? It's not apostles, not Nicene, Athanasian. Beautiful spelling out there. He's one of us, fully and completely, perfectly human with us. And that's what God has done. But why doesn't the angel say, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Jesus? The reason why is, this is a confirming dream. Have you ever heard that phrase used? A confirming dream. Time after time, Old Testament and New, when God is going to ask someone to do the difficult thing, the thing that includes, you're going to need a lot of faith for this, the thing that includes, there's going to be some trouble, he begins by giving a confirming revelation. And a confirming revelation is one that can be cross-checked. Here's an example. As God sends Moses back to Egypt, back there in Egypt, God has talked to Aaron and told him to go and find Moses. And Moses meets Aaron halfway back and hears the news, and Aaron hears the news, and they know that God has put them together. Paul goes into the city of Damascus, and this is after he had the encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he's blind. And he's seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in, laying hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Meanwhile, there's a guy named Ananias, of course there is, who in his time of prayer that day has a vision, and God tells him to go and search out along this street in this house for a man named Saul of Tarsus and go lay your hands on him that he might receive his sight, and goes and looks for Paul in that place. And of course, Paul is there, and the both of them know this was not their just dreaming or imagining something. It is a confirming vision. And Mary has an angel come to her and tell her that she will become the mother of the Lord, and she will have a baby, and she will name her son Jesus. And Joseph has a dream. After he's not going to believe Mary, he has a dream, and the angel tells him, you know, what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and what are you going to name the baby? You're going to name him Jesus. And this is the first, in the two-part, the first revealing of the name of Jesus that the rabbis had been trying to figure out for centuries what his name would be. And it was hidden for them until it is revealed to Mary and Joseph. This is a confirming dream. What do you do with a confirming dream? After the dream, what to do? You have a clear message from God. What do you do? The angel said, take Mary home as your wife. And Joseph does. Everybody wants a vision from God, right? Everybody wants a confirming message. If only I could hear a voice from heaven or see an angel or something like that, then I'd know for certain, right? Not so fast. There are some who absolutely do not want that. Why? Because without a word or message from God, who knows what the right thing is to do? And if no one knows, who can say what you can and can't do? And then the earlier service, when there were the kids from the Christmas program sitting here, I said, you know, it's like when you, quote, didn't hear your mom or dad tell you to do something, so they really can't blame you if you didn't do it. We know this game. I learned this game raising three boys. But you'd be surprised. There are people in the spiritual realm that play that game. Old Testament lesson. It's the perfect example. There's Ahaz. God says, ask a sign as high as heaven or as deep as Sheol. Yeah. What does Ahaz say? Oh, no. I don't want to ask a sign. I don't want a revelation from God. I will not put the Lord to the test. Don't let him talk to me. Why? Because Ahaz wants to do what Ahaz wants to do. And if there is a vision and a sign and a confirming thing, this or that or the other thing, well, then that changes everything. If there is that, then there is rights and wrongs, and the right and the wrong is eternally right and wrong. And the message from God is a message from God, and you can't change it or ignore it, can you? See, when Joseph receives the message from the angel, well, when you've got a message from God, there are certain obligations that come along with that. Joseph is committed. He has got to follow through in what God has asked him to do. That means he has to take Mary home as his wife, and he's going to do that, and he will keep her pure until the child is born. And by the way, when God asks for somebody to do something like that, the reason why there is a confirming message, vision, or dream is because those things can include a lot of difficult, problematic trouble that comes along. Joseph is going to have to go up to Bethlehem with her. And then there's the flight into Egypt. And he's got to be committed for all of this and know that it is a message from God. He needs that certainty when the days are filled with the trouble. What about us? God has given his revelation in Jesus Christ. We have it in our Bibles. What do we do with it? I'll let you ponder that as we go back to asking, so what does the angel say? When he says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. See, that's the preaching of the gospel. That God actually would take flesh. The infinite comes into the world. And here is God, whom heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain, but there he is in the womb of Mary, and there he will be in the manger. He comes into the world for our salvation. He is called Emmanuel because he is God with us, and he is called Jesus because he will save us from our sins. And in this child, we find the mercy of God. His birth into our world is the beginning of our birth into heaven. His holy life in this sinful world is the beginning of our eternal life set free from sin. This child is God, the second person of the Trinity, equal to the Father according to his Godhead, but who has stepped down to walk our walk of faith and to be obedient to his Father in the walk of the plan of salvation. This is God who has decided that the most important thing in the whole universe is you and your soul and where you will spend eternity. And he starts his journey to win you and save and purchase you. And that journey involves a manger, a flight into Egypt, 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and praying, healing the sick, touching the lepers, raising the dead, being crucified and laid in the tomb, rising from the dead on the third day, and one day returning for us, so that, what is his name? He is called Emmanuel, God with us, so that we may one day be restored fully in our relationship with God, and then we can be us with God. He is God with us, and we are to be us with God, because he is Jesus, our Savior. In his name, amen.